Well, it was a pleasure to come today because the sunshine is out,
finally,
folks.
Finally.
That doesn't mean it's going to last all day, but we woke up to sunshine. And
it's been such a rainy winter, fall even, and the spring is just so rainy here. Anyway, let's take a look back at the past week, beginning with Ascension Thursday and Ascension Sunday here.
Slash Ascension Sunday, exactly. The Vatican celebrates all of the feast days on the day on which they fall. So Ascension Thursday, which is by its name a Thursday, is celebrated in the Vatican Thursday. It's a holiday and everything else. In Italy, I know in the American church and so forth, it is moved to the nearest Sunday, the first Sunday afterwards. So obviously the Pope at the Sunday Regina Caeli, he did talk about the fact that Italy and many other countries celebrate Ascension Thursday on a Sunday. It just sounds so funny to even say it, doesn't it? But Sunday was special. I'll go into his words on the Ascension in a moment. But Sunday was very special in another way. A crowd estimated at least 150,000 people, some media said 200,000 people, packed St. Peter's Square, Via della Conciliazione, wherever they could stand, to show their solidarity with and their love and support for the Holy Father as he weathers, of course, criticism about the Church's handling of the sex abuse cases. And the Italian faithful, which obviously were the most numerous, but there was a huge number of tourists. And because, I mean, they're just in Rome as tourists. They hear the Pope's going to be at his window, so of course they go to St. Peter's Square. But the Italians were invited to show their solidarity by the National Organization of Catholic Lay Groups. And I can tell you, I was leaving my house, which is nearby, I was leaving my house at about 10 of 10 to get a bus to go to Santa Susanna's church. And there were just rivers of people in front of my house packing the sidewalk. I had to walk. This is 10 o'clock in the morning. I had to walk on the street at a certain point.
It seems that the Pope himself was very moved by this expression of support by so many people.
He had heard of, I mean, he knew that the initiative was out there. And I think until you actually see the crowd, you're going to kind of go, oh, you know. And it wasn't a perfect day. There was a little bit of sunshine and then the weather degenerated. But
so what did the Pope have to say?
You know, well, actually, he thanked the people for their warm and abundant presence and how they have enthusiastically joined this beautiful demonstration of faith and solidarity, and that expressing the Catholic, the nation, that is to say Italy's and the Church's affection and closeness to the Pope. And then he said, you're expressing your closeness to the Pope, which he is, and also to priests, because he knew that they were there because of the sex abuse cases. And he's saying, you know, this is terrific that you're showing your solidarity for the priests that obviously the great majority who are wonderful, God-fearing, hardworking, self-sacrificing people. And the Pope said, and this is so important, the real enemy to be feared and fought is sin, spiritual evil, which at times, unfortunately, also infects members of the Church. He says, the Lord said, we live in the world, but we are not of the world, but we must guard ourselves from its temptations. And the Pope said, let us trustingly continue this journey together. And he said, and may the trials which the Lord allows, I think those are four very important words, which the Lord allows, may these trials encourage us to greater resolve and coherence. And what was also important about these words was that only a few days earlier on the plane, actually the previous week, on the plane going to Portugal, answering a journalist's question, he very much said the same thing about sin. We seem to forget there's sin. We seem to forget there's an evil one. When's the last time any of you and I or our listeners heard a sermon on the devil, on the evil one? So Pope's words, this was not the first time in recent days that he has said that. And but again, wonderful, warm applause, huge. You know, people were still filing out of St. Peter's Square 40 minutes after the Regina Caeli ended. So
quite extraordinary.
Well, it just takes a long time to get out when there's 150,000 of you. But then the Pope did, of course, talk about the fact that it was Ascension Sunday, celebrated in many countries, including Italy. And he talks about, he said, the liturgy, of course, of the day recounts the episode of the last separation of the Lord Jesus from his disciples. But this is not an abandonment because he remains with them always in a new form, and he remains with us in history. He comes back as the Holy Spirit. We have Pentecost this coming. We have Pentecost Sunday. Sunday. And so the Holy Spirit is always with us in the church, and Christ is always with us in the Eucharist. So his physical departure was a moment of great grief and sorrow, obviously, for his mother, for the apostles, for the disciples. But he came back in another form to be with us throughout history. And so the Pope highlights that, and again, particularly highlights how he's with us in the Eucharist.
You mentioned a few moments ago the Pope speaking to journalists on the plane going over to Portugal. He brought up that that trip again in his general audience on Wednesday.
He did, and you could tell how very much he enjoyed himself in Portugal, how important this trip was for him, the great demonstration, again, really beginning there, of solidarity of the faithful.
It's half, such a Catholic country.
Oh, yes, Portugal. Half a million. Well, it's a Catholic country, and yet we're looking at a nation whose government is now, there's this proposal on the table to legitimize same-sex, quote-unquote, marriage, you know, a country which also allows abortion. So going the secular route of much of Europe, and actually that was part of the Pope's message throughout, whomever he spoke to, cultural leaders or at masses, huge mass at Fatima, of course, 500,000 people. But his message was to not be swayed by the secular temptations of the world, to remember our faith. And he talked about evangelizing, the great evangelizing history of Portugal, and he said what we need to do is have this evangelization continue in our own day. We can't just think it was a one-time thing, it was done, hey, we're okay. We're not okay when you look at the secular nature of Europe, the way so many countries are going, and the Pope's trying to say, really, you know, you can be a good Catholic and still be in your country and active in every facet of life. You don't have to throw your faith away. So he certainly stressed the importance of faith and the asked people to try and, you know, overcome the temptations of secular society.
Then, of course, on Thursday, we saw the opening of the laity plenary that ran from May 20th to 22nd. And if I'm not mistaken, they were talking about how Catholics can engage in politics.
Their theme is witnessing to Christ in politics. And I think this is the fascinating topic. And a council communique from the council itself earlier in the week said that Benedict has on various occasions highlighted the pressing need for a renewed commitment of Catholics in political life. And then I kind of went back and did some research. And I know that when he went to Brazil in May of 2007, and he was in Aparecida, and he said, it is time to overcome the notable absence in the political sphere, the world of the media, and in universities of the voices and initiatives of Catholic leaders with strong personalities and generous dedication who are coherent in their ethical and religious convictions. And actually, if you think about it, do a little word research on the Vatican site and so forth, you will find this theme really recurring, the need for Catholics to be present and to be coherent in their faith, to be practicing magisterium following Catholics, obviously. And so the council, because of various remarks that the Holy Father had made, including at their last plenary, the last plenary of the Pontifical Council for the Laity, the Holy Father had again spoke of this topic, calling it a sensitive and special area of the mission of the lay faithful. So the council decided to have this for 2010. And it's interesting. Of course, it was inaugurated by Council President Cardinal Stanislaw Rilko. There were lectures on politics and democracy today, Status Questionis, another on the topic of church and political community, certain vital points, and another big one on the responsibility of the lay faithful in political life. And then you had people like Andrea Riccardi. He's the founder, of course, of the Sant'Egidio community. And he gave a report on what the great Christian figures in the history of politics have to say to us today. And then Guzman Carriquiri, whom we know is the undersecretary, the lay undersecretary of the Council for the Laity, and he discussed criteria and methods for the formation of lay faithful in politics, and then an audience with the Pope on Friday. So very, very important. I can't wait to read some of the final comments and if they come out with a little volume or a book or something else on guidelines. And I think it'd be wonderful if they did and then presented in a press conference or something. So that'll be very, very interesting. And we heard the admonishment by the Pope that there's got to be a greater presence of this voice. So, you know, we do it here at the radio, but I mean, we are a voice, not politics, but it's got to be heard elsewhere.
Joan Lewis is the Rome Bureau Chief for EWTN. A very warm thanks to her, too.